John chapter 8 in your Bibles, verses 30 to 36. John chapter 8 and verse number 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, Ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And let's pray together. Lord, it's wonderful to be in your house with your people as we sing and praise you for what you've given us. Lord, as we remember the country you've placed us in to serve you, please touch our hearts as to your goodness. And Lord, we know that your goodness leads to repentance. Lord, we need you this morning, please. And Lord, we just trust that you'll do this for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to make some strong statements this morning that I'm going to make some historical quotes also. If you want to look them up yourself, you can, but don't shut me off just because I say something that's strong. The violence in America because of socialism and progressivism causes us to think of America with a future that we're unsure of, because I personally have never seen America like this. When I was growing up, you couldn't threaten the president. You couldn't say, I want to kill the president. If you did, everybody knew that was against the law. Now, all of a sudden, it's not. You can take any aspect of America you want to right now. The whole idea that it's somebody that's illegal from our country, not from our country, can come to our and have asylum. Whether you're for that or against us, it hasn't always been that way. My family came from, my great-great-grandfather came from Germany in the late 1800s. They came at Ellis Island. Then they traveled to Kansas. They bought land out of their own pocket, but they did immigrate. In other words, my family's immigrants, but we came here the right way. We didn't try to sneak in or get through the system. That whole thinking is different now. As Britain, France, and Spain were colonizing America, trying to occupy as much land as possible after the French and Indian War of 1763, acts of tyranny became worse as Britain needed more taxes. And there's a reason I'm telling you this. I'm going to give you a hint at what's in the Declaration of Independence. I'm just going to say this. If our whole government is based off of the two greatest documents that have ever been penned in the world, and there's no government like ours, I'm amazed that a person could live their whole life in America and never read the Constitution. I don't want to raise a hands. Have you read the Constitution? There are some people, they've never read the Declaration of Independence. They don't understand the difference between the document. There is an ignorance to a point of shame right now in America. People have sports to play, video games to play, movies to watch, but they know nothing about what's going on politically. All they know is it's turmoil, but they can't differentiate saying that's right, that's wrong, that's iffy, that should. They can't do that. There is a ignorance of where we come from. And they always say this, if you want to reprogram people's future, you have to destroy their past first. That's how come American history isn't taught in the public schools. They want global history. They want you thinking we're one in the world. They don't want you thinking we're an American. That's foreign to me. When I was in high school, everybody learned about George Washington. Everybody learned about, you learned about the Revolutionary War. This is the tyranny that was taking place when our forefathers declared their independence from Britain. There was taxation without representation. They said, that's tyranny. You're taxing us without us voting on it, whether we want that or not. That's tyranny. Colonists could be disarmed. The soldiers could walk into a house and say, we're taking all your guns. That's where the Second Amendment comes from. We don't want our guns taken. If we have freedom, then we can keep our guns, right? They were disarming them. If a British official committed a crime, he wasn't tried here in the States. Most of them weren't tried at all. They were shipped over to England. And if the colonists were committing a crime here, they were taking them overseas. That's right there in the Declaration of Independence. They said, how come we're not tried here? We're tried under British law. We're not tried under a... Then they were quartering soldiers. Any British soldier could walk to any house and say, we're staying here for the next 3 weeks. It could be six men, seven men. Didn't matter if there was room. Do you ever wonder where you can't search my house without a warrant comes from? Comes from unlawful quartering. You cannot come into my house unless you have a warrant, right? That dates all the way back. They were coming in, then the soldiers were coming in, and there were so many accounts. If somebody ticked off one of the soldiers, they'd either rape or murder, and then nothing would happen to them. So here's a family that suffers the loss of a loved one, and then they had to watch it happen because these are British soldiers. Our forefathers finally said, that's enough. This is wrong, and why am I telling you that? Because the founders of our country described the acts of tyranny, and they wanted freedom to do that. If they wanted their freedom, they had to first declare their independence from Britain. Do you realize the American history books, when they do teach on the Revolution, they say the colonists were rebellious. This was the American Rebellion. It's no longer the Revolution. They're teaching the students they rebelled and they did wrong. Our forefathers did not rebel against Britain. Britain pushed them to the point where they said, we need a different government than what you're providing for us. This is too much. This is oppression. I wanted to show you that this morning. Listen to me here, just quickly. If I asked you, do you know the difference between the founders of our country and the framers of our country? Founders and framers. The founders of our country were the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence penned by Thomas Jefferson in 1776. Those are the founders of our country. The framers of our country were the 39 men who put together and signed the Constitution, and that was penned primarily by James Madison, literally 13 years later in 1789. You say, what's the difference? The Declaration of Independence is why we needed to establish a new government. It was why? Because of the tyranny. The Constitution is the how are we going to establish a new government. Isaiah 33:22, three sections, checks and balances. How are we going to do it? Understanding those two documents, very important. The progression of freedom in our country, for the freedoms that we enjoy, it started in England with a Baptist preacher, Leonard Busher. He wrote a tract in 1614 called Plea for Religious Liberty. Then a humble petition from the anonymous prisoner at Newgate. It was a tract circulated in England in 1620. This idea of stop persecuting us because we don't go to the Church of England. You cannot persecute somebody into being a Christian. They were putting them in the stocks. They were putting them in the torture chamber. They were putting them in the Newgate prison in cages, 3 feet by 3 feet. If you didn't tithe, it was a forced tithe. To this day in England, it's a forced tithe. In Mexico, it's a forced tithe. 10% of your income goes to the Catholic Church. In Germany, it's a forced tithe. 10% of your income goes to the Lutheran Church because that's the state church. The freedom we have in America is what? Our forefathers said, you can't make, one, you can't make me go to church. Two, you can't make me love God. I should be able to go to the church that I want to, the church of my choice. And true freedom says, I don't have to go to church. Praise God, I get to go to church. That's freedom. That's freedom. It was not that way in England. Then Roger Williams in 1644 wrote the bloody tenet of persecution. The Portsmouth Compact of Rhode Island was penned in 1636. All of this is the progression as things happened. I'll tell you what happened here in just a second. Then John Clark, the first Baptist pastor in America in 1663, penned the Rhode Island Constitution, of which our Constitution is modeled after. Came from a Baptist preacher. Then the Declaration of Independence, because the influence of Baptist pastor Andrew Tribble on Thomas Jefferson, 1776. Thomas Jefferson went to Andrew Tribble's church up here, sat in the back. Thomas Jefferson wasn't saved. He wrote his own Bible, tore out all the miracles. Anything that was supernatural, Thomas Jefferson took out. I think that's sad, but you've never heard of the Thomas Jefferson Bible? It's about that thick. It has a lot taken out of it. But Thomas Jefferson did understand biblical phraseology. Every month he would come to Andrew Tribble's church and sit in the back when they would have a business meeting. And in a Baptist church, everybody gets one vote, including the pastor. And just because the pastor doesn't like something doesn't mean that he can override what the people want. When Thomas Jefferson, there was no church like that. All the other churches, the pastor controlled it. In the Catholic Church, the Pope controls it. It doesn't matter what the people say, well, how they vote. Thomas Jefferson sat in the back of that Baptist church, and he watched month after month, and this is what he said. The Baptist church in its business meeting is the purest form of democracy in the universe. I'm going to model our government after that. Where everybody gets one vote. Everybody gets one vote. Then the Declaration of Independence comes along in 1776, one of the greatest documents that the world has ever known. Then, following the Declaration of Independence, the United States Constitution in 1789 comes along. Then, finally, the Bill of Rights, because of Baptist pastor John Leland shook hands with James Madison in 1791. Can I just take this moment and describe to you, the Constitution is not a bendable, pliable document. It is supposed to stand firm. It's never supposed to be altered. That's why I gave you last week, what is the Electoral College? It's the biggest section in the Constitution. The Electoral College is one of the... If we lose the Electoral College, tyranny. And there's so many people, they have no clue what the Electoral College is. It's the biggest section of the Constitution. The Constitution, anybody who talks about, well, we just need to change the Constitution, mark that person. They're not for freedom. They are for progressivism, socialism, and communism. You see, you should be able to listen to the politicians, listen to what they're saying. When they talk about redistribution of wealth, that doesn't red flag anything. That's socialism. Does everybody know it's failed in 41 countries that it's been tried in? It's never succeeded. It broke Russia. It'll break. You say, what's the difference between socialism and communism? Socialism is the economic system. Communism is the political plus economic system combined. You cannot have communism without socialism. And socialism always leads to, if you look up history, here's what's scary about socialism. Whenever it takes, it leads to a genocide. Before every Mao Zedong killed 10 million of his own people in China to establish authority so nobody would question it. We can go right down the list. I wish more, you see, we're coming on election time next year or something like that, you know, 2020. Listen to what they're saying. You have to, the Constitution, you're never supposed to change the Constitution. The Constitution doesn't give you your freedoms. The Bill of Rights does. There's nothing in the Constitution that tells you that, you know, no search without warrants and, you know, right to bear arms and free speech. There's nothing in the Constitution outlines the government. Three sections, checks and balances, so there's no tyranny. Your freedoms are the Bill of Rights. And when somebody says we need to do away with the Second Amendment or we need to do away with the Tenth Amendment, you need to mark that person. You need to say, you're after freedom. Now, before I get into this morning, does everybody understand freedom is not a natural desire of everybody? Everybody, what does everybody want to be taken care of? All of us want to be taken care of. We want somebody else to take care of us. That's the natural human appeal. But everybody, freedom requires responsibility. And in other words, freedom says, this is my business. I run my business. I work hard. Stay out of my business. I'm free to run my business how I want. If I want to bankrupt the stupid thing, I'll bankrupt it. If I want to, freedom says, leave me alone. I'll take care of it and I'll bear the responsibility. Socialism says government will take care of you, and if you will take care of your health care, and we'll make sure that you're getting $1,000 a month they want to pay somebody. One of the people at the Democratic things was talking about giving, well, in America, everybody needs to get $1,000 a month. Really? No. They've already tried that in Australia. It doesn't work. It does not work. I wish people, your natural tendency is to be taken care of. You have to fight that if you want freedom. That's why when they start saying, you can have a phone and you can have this and we'll give you money and food and all that, you say, no, I want my freedom. I want the responsibility of failure and success on me, not you. You have to understand that. Men say, I'm a man, I don't need somebody else, I'm independent, right? In other words, I'll pray for you, I'm glad if you need help, I'll help you, but I stand on my own 2 feet. When you take that from a man, you take his security. And then depression comes. You can't keep giving somebody what they can work for forever. It leads to depression, which leads to suicide. That's why we got the drug overdose problems. It just goes downhill from there. A man wants to stand on his own 2 feet. I'm independent. And why would I tell you that? The Declaration of Independence, American independence, if you want to understand it, it was not freedom from authority. It was freedom from tyranny. The Declaration of Independence says, I want to read you two phrases. Just listen. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another. Later in the second paragraph, it says that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, the right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, listen, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it or to institute new government. That tells me this. Our forefathers said, look, we're not looking to be free from authority. We want to establish an authority that'll let us do what God told us to do. That's what we want. When you follow this through, they were seeking to establish independence from tyranny. Satan is the one who sought independence from God. Satan is the father of rebellion. He's the father of lies. He said, I will be like the Most High. I don't want anybody over me. So he rebelled against God and was cast out of heaven. That's rebellion. Satan didn't want anybody telling him what to do. Our forefathers weren't saying that. They weren't saying we don't want anybody to tell us what to do. We want people telling us to do that won't limit us so we can obey God. That independence is healthy. That independence. You see, true rebellion is when you tell God no. True rebellion begins when you seek to replace God's authority with your authority. 1 Samuel 15:23, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Proverbs 17:11, an evil man seeketh only rebellion. And we have a tendency to think, you know, you're rebellious if you dress the part and you tattoo your face and, you know, sag your pants and all that other stuff. That's rebellion starts in the heart. Long before the outward signs of rebellion appeared, it happened in the heart. And everybody, all of us have a rebel in us. All of us have to work at submitting to God. Because if you aren't careful, Christian, you'll tell God no. That's very dangerous to tell God no. When God says something in His Word, we're to say, what? We'll respond with a yes, I may not like it, but I submit. Right? I submit to the Bible. Proverbs 29 verse 1 says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Have you ever heard the term in the Bible when you read it, God called the rebellious stiff-necked? And it would say whenever God would reprove them, then they would stiffen up like this. God says you keep hardening your neck and it's going to break. You can't tell God no. That's rebellion. The cry of every believer is supposed to be that we need God, not to seek and live apart from Him. I really am going somewhere with this. Listen to me here just for a second. So I described to you the wrong type of independence is when you want independence from God. You don't want anybody telling you what to do. That's the wrong type of independence. The right type of independence says, I don't want somebody telling me how to worship God. I want to pursue God. I need God. I want God. But I'm not looking to be independent from God. I'm not looking to be independent. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. Christian, do you know when you're the happiest? When you walk with God. Do you know when you're the happiest? In thy presence is fullness of joy. When you love God with all your heart, and you want God. and you want God's will, that brings happiness. Do you know when you get depressed? When you know in your heart you're fighting God and telling God, you can't do that without ramifications and guilt and the shame and the loneliness that comes after that. In thy presence, Psalm 16:11, is fullness of joy. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, God says this, I call heaven and earth to record this day against thee, you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God. Listen, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. And I love this, for he is thy life. My life loses meaning when I backslide. When I fight God, you fight God? Everybody's told God no at least once in their life. Some a lot more, amen. And I've told God no more than once, all right? And I'm the most miserable when I tell God no. You know why? He is your life. And you love life, you love your marriage, you love your home, you love life when you're closest to God, and you don't love life when you're away from God. When you're away from God. America needs to remember that our celebrated independence is not so we can commit abortion or have sex outside of marriage or pedophile children or prey upon children. Has anybody thought about the abortion law? Well, it's in case somebody's raped or somebody is a miscarriage. My wife and I said when we had our first child, they told us, your baby's going to be born with its brain outside its skull, and bifida, all of that stuff. And they pressured my wife and I said, you need to have an abortion. You need to have an abortion. My wife and I on our knees said, if that's the baby God wants us to have, then God gave it to us, and no, we're not going to kill a baby. Has anybody thought about the abortion thing? Roe versus Wade. It's all so you can support fornication with no responsibility. It's all about filth. They've been preaching that for 40 years. Now we're seeing it. Why would anybody support abortion? Well, because you can't give it to one without giving it to another. It's murder. It's murder. And it is so America can have sex outside of marriage with no responsibility. And every person that's for it ought to be ashamed. Think it through, right? That's the only reason it exists. We want to do what God gave without God's restrictions and boundaries. And it's damning our country. It is damning our nation to hell. It's awful. It's awful. That's just one. See, people will say, well, we should be free to... You don't have any right to do anything that keeps you from experiencing God's freedom. Like, you have no right to drink alcohol because it hinders your brain, hinders your soul, and keeps you from loving God. You say, but that's my freedom. You don't have a right to that type of freedom. That freedom robs you of the freedom to serve God and to live for God. You can't do that. That type of thinking. See, when they start saying, we're protesting for our rights, we're protesting for our freedom. When Antifa gets what they want, it's bondage. They're saying, but we're protesting for... Has anybody read the Civil Rights Act of 1963? Has anybody read that? I'll answer the question for you. No. We're marching for equality. Read it. Read the Civil Rights Act of 1963, and you will find when that was enacted, you lost your freedom. The whole Civil Rights Act has not been enacted yet. Only one part has. Listen, do you know what the word discriminate means? It means to choose with passion. Everybody in here has the right to discriminate. See, we think it's a racial issue. It is not. That's what it was turned into. But no, everybody in here has the right to choose. You should have the freedom to choose what you feel is best. In politics, the Civil Rights Act does away with that. They just haven't enacted it yet. What they're protesting for, we want our freedom. When they get what they are asking for, it's bondage. Nobody has the right to do that. As we won our independence from Britain, it gave us freedom to establish a government where we could live for God and serve God. Now let's look at our text, John chapter 8. Let's look at true freedom. I wanted you to understand independence. And as we remember America and we think of America and America separating from Britain, It's not, once again, properly remembering America is not as a bunch of rebels. They were God-fearing people. I don't think all of them were saved. I don't think that. But they were looking to obey God. They were not looking to run the show. You understand? They weren't looking to live without authority. John chapter 8. Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." I want to use this to make some statements here. First of all, when you read verse 32, it says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The word free, I think you know the definition, but it means not in bondage to another. Romans 8:2 says, "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." I've been made free. You should seek to learn the Bible so you can be a disciple of Christ. Not feed your ego that you know more Bible than somebody else. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, that's how you follow me. You stay in the book. You stay in the book. It's not, once again, there's many reasons for studying the Bible, but the main reason is supposed to be because you're a follower of Christ. I gain that from verse number 31. Look at verse number 32. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." As you study the Bible, you're studying the truth. I don't know what your view of the Bible is. It's more than a historical document. It's not oral tradition. If you've got a King James Bible in your hands, you have the words of God. When you read your Bible, that's supposed to be God speaking to you. You're not reading, you are reading history, but you're reading God's word. If your view of the Bible is anything beyond that, well, you know what it is? Well, I believe it's the best book. God doesn't speak to your heart. That book you hold in your hand, is God's whole, it's the only book God ever wrote. This is the authority. This is supposed to be the authority. You'll know the truth. The only unquestionable truth in the world is God's word. Jesus said in John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Jesus said, look, the only way I can figure out if somebody's telling me a lie or not is to find out, is there Bible behind what you're saying? Because, right, Isaiah 8:20, if they speak not according to this book, it's because there's no law, light in them. This is my only measure of what's a lie and what's truth. I match everything that everybody tells me with the Bible. It determines truth from a lie because this is truth. This is truth. Only as you seek to know the living word by the written word can you know truth and be set free. That's why Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." This is why people are so relieved when they place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for them. They're so relieved. Look, they say, "Well, I went to this church, and they said, if you'll keep the sacraments and do this and get baptized, you got a good chance of going to heaven. And then I went to this church, and they said if I'd speak in tongues and do this and attend church regularly that I might go to heaven. And then you found out from the Word of God that Jesus died for your sins, shed His blood for you on a cross, rose again, and all you had to do was place all of your faith in Him, and He totally saves you, borns you again, you become His child, and the relief, I've learned the truth. I can't work my way to heaven. There's nothing I can do. There's no church that can give it to me. There's no religion that can give it to me. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I've been set free. How do you know you're saved? I'll tell you how I know. One, because the Bible says so. Two, I don't have a lot to choose from. There's only one that rose from the dead. I don't have three people to pay. Well, let me see. Him, or... Well, he did it quicker than... No, there's only one. There's only one that rose from the dead. You don't have it. Muhammad's in the grave. Buddha's in the grave. Confucius in the grave. Pope's in the grave. Okay, what are you... They're all the leaders of the religions of the world are dead and have not risen except one. There's only one choice. Because He conquered death, He's the only one that can give life. Amen? He's the only one. He's the only one. Look at that verse, verse 32. "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth of the Bible. Listen, this morning, I'll tell you this. You're only as free as you love the Lord Jesus and His Word. If not, you're in bondage. Because this is how you live. If you don't care what the Bible says, you care about what everybody else thinks. Well, do they like me? And do they like me? And do they like me? And you're not free. That's called bondage. You don't think I'm bad, do you? You can't win everybody's approval. The one you're supposed to be living for is God. The smile that you're supposed to want is God's smile. That is freedom. You'll know the truth. But if you're living, you know the old statement? He who whittles himself down to make everybody happy soon whittles himself away. You can't make everybody happy. You ought to be living for God. That's where you experience freedom. I'm living to make Him happy and His smile. The word liberty, the word freedom and liberty are related. I love this statement. You can't enslave a Bible-reading people. That's how come every dictator, Stalin, Hitler, the first thing they do, for me to control you, I have to take your Bible. And they burn them. Because they said, a people that reads their Bible, they're taught. God has spoken to them. They know the book. You can't enslave a Bible-reading people. Christian, our freedoms in our country are going down the tubes because people, one, I think don't understand the Bible, and two, they don't understand the Constitution. We want to rewrite the Constitution. Some have said we want to do away with it and what? You're a nut job. Amen? You need to, I don't know. I tell them all, go to Saudi Arabia and let your wife walk around with a garbage bag around her head. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Listen to these verses on liberty. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Freedom and liberty are to never be used to do what we want. That's what we're watching happen in America. We're watching people fight for the right to do whatever they want to do. And none of our forefathers ever fought for that. That's how come, look, homosexuals, that's why. Any freedom that leads you against the Bible leads you into bondage. I already said it, let me say it again. Nobody has a right to do something that keeps you from experiencing God's freedom from the Bible. If you want to go homosexuality, transgenderism, it's filthy. We knew it was pedophilia at the start. Now we're watching it take place. It's absolutely amazing. Well, we have the right to do this. No, you don't. Look, let me take immigrants for a second. You have no right to come to my country and coexist with me until you can take me over. You're supposed to assimilate yourself. Well, our religion we're bringing, we don't want your religion here. Your religion that you came from in Europe led to a feudalism. That's Catholicism. The religion you had in the Middle East leads to a dictatorship. Name a Muslim country that's not run by a dictator. Do you know why? Because the religion leads to that form of government. A democracy or a republic like we have cannot exist in a Muslim nation. It never has. You don't come to my country and put up with me until you have so many of you that you can take over. That's wrong. You're supposed to, if America's so great, you're supposed to come here because it's the best country on earth and it's where you can enjoy freedom. And then why don't you learn where we got our freedoms from? We got them from the Bible. We didn't get them from the Quran. We didn't get them from the Vadi, from the Hindus. You want to know what type of political system they deal with? Go over to India and watch them worship cows. Watch the kids starve to death because they can't eat the cow because it might be Uncle So-and-so, they think. It's goofy. That's because a religion is the basis of every political system of every country. And what made America great isn't Hinduism. It's not Muslim. It's not Catholicism. It's Bible believing. It's Bible belief where we get our freedoms. Do away with the Bible and your freedoms go bye-bye. They go bye-bye. God gives me freedom to be held accountable, only Him. Take your Bible and go to Romans 14. We'll close with two scripture. The name of the sermon this morning is Properly Remembering Independence and Freedom. And I know I don't have to preach a patriotic sermon every July 4th or near that, but I was hoping that this would help our Christianity and help you as a Christian and, praise the Lord, as an American also. Romans chapter 14 and verse 10. Romans chapter 14, look at verse 10. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. If you have those words, the judgment seat of Christ is mentioned 2 times in your Bible. And every Christian, judgment seat of Christ isn't determined whether you're lost or saved. The judgment seat of Christ is determined what type of a Christian life you lived. And after you get saved, every Christian that's in, this takes place in heaven, you're going to individually, it's the truth, but look at verse 12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Christian, you're going to stand before God individually. You're not going to stand before God as a family. You're not going to stand before God as a church. You're going to individually give an account to God for the decisions you made after you got saved. You should have the freedom then to worship God and pursue God and love God the way you feel God wants you to do, because you alone are going to stand before God. Nobody's going to stand before God for you. You're going to give an account to God. If you miss verse 12, look at verse 5, Romans 14, verse 5. Once again, I'd like you to mark these and then go back and look at them. But think about this. One man, Romans 14, 5, esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. This is the part of the verse, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. That's why you find preaching and persuasion in the New Testament. Look, I can preach the book, but I don't tell you what to believe. I can't make you believe something that your conscience won't let you believe. That's between you and God. The whole New Testament is wrapped up in this. Christian, we gather around the Bible, we preach the book, you have a responsibility to get saved. Once you get saved, because it's simple, praise God, it's not hard. Once you get saved, then you're supposed to learn that book before God. What does God require of you? That's the Christian life. What does my God expect of me? That is how I'm supposed to have the freedom to exercise that. Freedom to exercise that. Thomas Henderson Pritchett said this, the Old Testament dealt with man and families and nations. The language of the New Testament is every man must give an account of himself to God. The Bible was given to individuals, and as a result of this priceless gift, every individual is accountable to enter into a relationship with Christ regardless of the teaching he has or has not received. I love this statement. The part I love about Christianity is this, God's personal. And you're as close to God as you want to be. If you're not close to God, it's not because God plays favorites. The only reason you don't love God more is because you don't want to. Your man, you love God as much as you want to. Your relationship is personal. I'm so glad God doesn't see us as the hive. You know what I mean? We're not a group. I praise God for the church. Amen. I love singing songs together. Love preaching the Word of God. But when you kneel on your knees and you shut your eyes, it's supposed to be you and the Lord, not us. Amen? It's you and the Lord. True liberty means freedom to obey, not disobey. True liberty is not license to sin. The only way a democracy works is if the gospel is preached and people's hearts are right. It's not the most perfect way, but it's the only way to rule people and not take away their soul liberty. Look. Can I just read you some quotes about democracy? Our forefathers didn't want anything to do with a democracy. What are we fighting for? A constitutional republic. Don't let this be a democratic republican thing. They weren't always Republicans and Democrats. You understand? Democratic Party comes along later with Andrew Jackson. If you haven't looked up the history, you need to. This isn't talking party. We're talking thought process. Democracy means mob rule. Republic means rule by law, written law. You don't want a democracy. And any politician that says, we need to get back to democracy, our forefathers never wanted a democracy. Here's why. Listen closely. John Adams said, remember, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There never was a democracy yet that did not commit suicide. Democracy will soon degenerate into anarchy. Such an anarchy that every man will do that which is right in his own eyes, and no man's life or property or reputation or liberty will be secure. And all of those will soon be molded into a system of subordination to the abominable cruelty of one or a very few. You don't want a democracy. I like what John Adams said. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people it is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Do you know why? When you lose the Bible, you lose your restraint. God's Word says, no, you're not supposed to have sex outside of marriage. No, you're supposed to control your mouth. No, you're not supposed to steal from somebody. It doesn't matter whether you think it's wrong or not. God says it's wrong. When you put the Bible aside and you get to do whatever you want to do, the government implodes. And that's what you're watching happen. As America says, no, we're evolving. We're progressing away from the Bible. Then your freedoms go bye-bye. They go bye-bye. Understanding our freedom, true freedom, is the right to do what God told you to do. As people live more and more for themselves, our nation is, once again, being destroyed. Our freedoms are preserved only as we restrain our flesh according to the authorized version of the Bible. You can mandate a person's behavior, but you can't mandate their heart or conscience. Let's close with one place. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There's a lot more, and I don't mind the time constraints. I'm glad, you know what I mean? We can't be in church all day. However, I wish more Christians understood what was going on, what needs to take place, where your freedoms come from. Christian, my goodness, what's happening in America? I hope you're praying for your country. I hope it stirs you to pray. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. There it is again, individually standing before God. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. What's the terror of the Lord? Terror of the Lord is knowing you're going to give an account of yourself one day. You're going to give an account of your Christianity. You're going to give an account of your walk with God and the decisions you made. As we remember and celebrate our independence and freedom, we should see them through God's eyes. This is why preaching is so important, once again. Preaching is someone telling us from the Bible what we won't tell ourselves. That's why God's method is preaching for the New Testament. For the New Testament. Jesus said, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. With all of the talk of independence and freedom and nobody tells me what to do, I think a Christian should understand it and have a biblical picture of freedom. It's not to do whatever I want to do. It's freedom to obey God. Freedom to obey God. Let me ask you this question this morning. Are you free from the bondage of sin? Are you free from the fear of hell, Christian? Are you free from it? Are you free indeed because you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed for you on the cross for your sins? Only you can answer that question. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this morning. Thank you for your word. And Lord, the disarray we see in our country, the tension...